Yeah. Would you pass the tree around one of you? That's a plant a little fertilizer around it, grow some more real quickly. Now just pass the tree. Let everyone. Everyone get a lollipop. Right there is a tree. Now, by the way, this is a good Barasini candy, you know. It's a Barasini lollipop. what school are you girls and boys from? Where is that? Oh, I see. We have an office down at 23rd Street. This is the west side. That's our west side office, 23rd Street, 8th Avenue. Yes, that's right. That's our branch office, one of our branch offices. I suppose you want to know a little something about our institution. We are known basically as a poor man's bank. We are the only banking institution in operation in Manhattan. Presently, that was organized and operated entirely by a minority group and basically the Negro. There is another bank opening possibly this month or certainly next month, the Freedom National Bank, about three blocks from here, which will be the first national bank. We are actually a federal savings and loan. Some people say we are not a bank, but we do banking business. We are a home financing institution, and we provide a safe place for people to save their money and earn in the process of saving. For example, we are the same, we do pretty much the same thing as, let's say, the state chartered savings banks. We are federally chartered savings and loans. We help you to save your money, and we help you to buy homes. That's basically what we do. We also, of course, pay you dividends for the money which you entrust with us until you want it. We were founded about 15 and a half years ago down in the middle of this block in a very small store, about 12 foot wide. First few months, I was the only employee of the organization. So I used to collect the money, ring the cash register, keep the books, sweep the floor, put the cat out at night, and do the appraising. We now have three offices and over 50 staff members and assets of $29 million. We have financed homes for approximately 5,000 people. Most of them were, we might say, poor people, people who never would have been able to have bought a home had we not been able to help them. See, we lend money here on the basis of the security, not on the basis of the location, locality, the race or religion of the person. Guess you're kind of young to understand that, but it hasn't always been easy for a member of the minority group in New York, I'm sorry to say, to borrow money to buy a home as it would have been for others to do so. And if you lived in certain areas like Harlem, East Bronx, wherever there was a large gathering of a minority group, the banks were quite reluctant to lend money in those areas. So that's what I mean by we will lend in any area to any person who is worthy of it. That's basically our operation and what we do. Will there be any questions? I'm sorry, you, brother, if you should be in the vicinity of our office in about 10 days, or either this office, we will have a very lovely calendar. It's the It's based on the civil rights, known as the civil right calendar, especially made, and we think it's going to be very informative, and I think each one of you will enjoy going through one of them. They are not out yet, but I would suggest that you stop in and get one. It will be, a good many of the schools will have our calendar this year. Do you have any questions?
Well, were you the founder of the bank?
I'm one of the founders, yes. The bank was founded by a group of civic-minded people who attempted to correct an evil that was in the community, which I have alluded to earlier. That is, that it was difficult to get money, people living in this area, to borrow money to buy homes. So a group of civic-minded people got together and tried to do something about helping themselves. This is the result. I might add that this is not a stock institution, it's a mutual institution. By that, the founders don't make any money. All of the money goes to the depositors. We have, they're not depositors, they are members. It is a membership organization. And we have 43,000 members now. That's a lot of people, isn't it? And the profits go to them. I get a salary, but there's no stock or not a tycoon. I'm just a hard worker. Any other questions?
What is the Carver stand
for? Oh, Carver is named in honor of one of the world's famous scientists, George Washington Carver. By the way, he happens to have been a Negro. And this might be a little, might interest you a bit. You hear probably of the new half a dollars of our late president. How many of you have ever seen or heard of a George Washington Carver half dollar? Or a Booker T. Washington half dollar? Well, we have two of the coins, the only coins, we have the three here. We have two of the only coin in the country that have ever had the profile of a Negro on them. This is Booker T. Washington. This is a half a dollar. Half a dollar. And this one is the only other one. This is a half a dollar. This is Booker T. Washington. I'm going to pass it, let each one of you see it. This is Booker T. Washington and George Washington Carver. This is the latest one that was minted, and this is worth today about, $2.50 or $3. See, it's a short mint. But it's actually a good half dollar American money. You want to just look at it and pass it around?
When were these minted?
Well, I think it's on there at the moment. I'm not sure. My eyes are not as good as they used to be. Oh, 1952. Going to pass it around.
How many were made, do you know?
Not too many. I don't know. We got about 5,000 of them. And we have just less than 100 left now. I mean, you have to pay a premium for them. We have the ones we have now, we just keep them for posterity. If you would look at it rather quickly so everyone can get to see it, you know.
Were these issued to commemorate an anniversary of some sort?
Well, the George Washington, Booker T. Washington coin, that one there was issued to help to build a foundation in a little town in Virginia, in a little town in Virginia. I've forgotten the name of the town. It is... And when they came out, you had to pay a premium of 10 cents to the federal government. The dime went through this memorial in Virginia. Although it was 50 cents, you had to pay 60 cents to the government to get them. And the 10 cents went to the construction of this memorial in a little town in Virginia. I've forgotten the name of it. Now, this Booker T. Washington half dollar, which was came out in 1946, I don't know for what reason that they did this. See, maybe it takes too long for this to get around. This is the Booker T. Washington coin. This is the front of it. It's a half a dollar. And on the back, it has a picture of the Met, and it says, "From Slave Cabin to the Hall of Fame." See, that's what it says on the back. Are these Well, they were special mints. They were made just like any other half a dollar. This is one of the late President Kennedy. See, they were all the same. I mean, they were special mints. There were not as many of these printed as there will be of this, I'm sure. See? That's the only difference. They were...
Sure. We're interested in the history of the city and the changing city. In your recollection, could you just... tell us something about this particular part of the city, how it's changed. Has it changed much in the last 20 years?
Well, there's been, in the last 20 years, I've been in this community approximately 30 years or more. I've been acquainted with it at that time. The occupants of the area have changed. 30 years ago, the entire area was not of Negro and Puerto Rican. There were many of the Cajuns in various areas. The Negroes were, we would say, chiefly below 135th Street, and they were in the areas of, west of Fifth Avenue, and east of Amsterdam, St. Nicholas Avenue, chiefly. The Puerto Ricans were chiefly in the 105th Street area, centering around Fifth Avenue up to possibly 115th Street, and as to the change in buildings, there's been very little change. We have, it's so difficult to get mortgage money in this area for private construction that there's been very little private construction in the area. You might say Riverton, the counterpart of the Metropolitan's project downtown Stuyvesant Town, one of the few private building projects that have come into the area. All of the other projects have been chiefly governmental finance, low-cost housing. We got a couple of middle-income buildings recently. But 125th Street looks pretty much the same as it did, as it did 20 years ago, with the exception of maybe a different storefront. You will notice that most of the merchants in 125th Street are white merchants. That hasn't changed. I would say you won't find a dozen Negro merchants in the street from river to river. So there's been the buildings look worse. It's been a deterioration in the buildings, but there's not been too much change in the area. Hello. Excuse me, Desmond. Hello.
Banking records. Where would you say the Negro people are building houses now?
Well, private homes are being built in mostly in Long Island, Queens, Nassau County, and Lower Westchester County, communities like Mount Vernon, New Rochelle, White Plains, and in New Jersey, for example, across the river in Englewood. That is where we are financing the homes that are being constructed.
Has there been much change since the civil rights movement got underway? Has there been an increase in moving in various areas?
Well, I think there has, I wouldn't say that building has noticeably increased. From private homes, there has been a noticeable increase in the integration, in my opinion, of in the multiple dwellings, the apartment buildings. Prior to that time, well, there was very little integrating of the multiple dwelling buildings out of this area, and there has been a considerable acceleration, I think, in that along that area, in that line.
One more question. Just occurred to me as I came in here, what percentage would you say of Negro people use the Negro bank?
Very small percentage, frankly. I think we have something like, I believe, seven or more banks on 125th Street or in the immediate vicinity. And this is, as I said, the only Negro banking institution in operation and so forth. And the Negro people do not confine their operation just to the banks in this area. They, for example, I worked before we organized this institution at a large savings bank downtown, and in this one bank, Negroes had several million dollars deposited in this one particular bank, and it was all the way down at Chambers Street. So their banking is well integrated, fit that way.
What do you feel? Do you feel that optimistic about the development of Negro business in general? They were going to increase?
Oh, very definitely. I am quite optimistic, though. You know, one of the reasons that I feel that there's so little of it, the Negro youth has not had too good an image of the Negro businessman. The reason, I feel that we first were interested in security. I mean, we didn't have risk money and we didn't have the know-how, so we were interested in a good job, white-collar job, where we would be sure of making a livelihood that provided for our families. There is more money in circulation, the Negro has more know-how and he's learning more every day, and consequently he's better able to enter into the business field, and he will present a better image to the young people. I mean, they will want to be maybe banker, I hope, merchant, manufacturer. For example, I understand most of the graduates, the Negro graduates, particularly Southern colleges, and enter into chiefly into one of the foreign fields, teaching professions, doctor of medicine, ministry, social work. Now, they are all wonderful fields. They're very wonderful fields. But a very small percentage of them enter into the business field. I think with the white youth, I believe I read recently someplace that I think it's three out of every five diploma issued at a graduate from a college to a white youth, three of them were in economics. Three of the five. So you see, there's a big difference. Make a speech on your question.
Well,
it's something that's very close to us. We would like to encourage more of the young people to think of business and to enter into the business field. That's where the money is. any of you girls and boys have any questions? Out in the world. You thought about it a little early, huh?
Yeah.
Well, it isn't really too early to make up for any of you to make up your mind. How How many of you know what you think you'd like to do now? I see your hands. You think you know? What would you like to do? All right. That's wonderful. It would be a good one. And, if you made up your mind, work at it.
Please. A couple of hands up for you.
Uh-huh. What do you think you'd like to do? Wonderful. We need a lot of porches. Good ones, though. You'll have to study real hard. Yeah, that's wonderful. Wonderful. That's wonderful. You can work for us, and we are putting in the big IBM 1440 machine down at our office in June, and we'll need our IBM operators. In fact, four of our youngsters here now are down at the IBM school learning to operate and program. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of very hard when we first started.
Well, it was. It was quite hard. It wasn't easy at all. You see, we had to change some of the old patterns of a good many people. There had not been a Negro bank in the area. Strangely enough, a good many of the Negroes were not... they were a little afraid to patronize the bank. It didn't look very much like a bank in the early days, just a little store, you know. It didn't look like a bank very much. And, there's a lot of problems to overcome. I mean, we found it very difficult. But we kept working at it, doing the best we could.
Do you think you could start a bank in the same way today? George wanted to, for instance?
Well, I think George could start a bank today, but it isn't an easy job, and I hope that one day he will. You certainly can if you make up your mind to do it. I think it would be easier today than it was 15 years ago.
Do you have a question, Kara?
Well, I believe in telling the truth, and the person that painted it, I hope that you boys and girls will never go where he was. He was a prisoner, a person in the penitentiary, and he painted it while he was in the penitentiary. He's out now. He learned to paint while he was in prison. His name is, he just signs his name George. That's all I know.
Well, George.
Well, you could, if you wanted to think of him as Martin Luther King, you might. It isn't actually Martin Luther King. He is a symbol of the Martin Luther King and the various Well, no, I wouldn't say that has any particular meaning so far as the bank is concerned. I think most pictures mean different things to different people, I believe. And I would say generally that is more or less